Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Life's a Binge. This is Jared from the show Life's a Binge, talking at you solo. BJ is off exploring the Great Northwest yet again, so it's just me this week. You guys get a full hour of just me. Aren't you excited? I know I am. Remember that one time that BJ went to the bathroom and I had no idea what to say for like 15 seconds because I was all by myself? Well, guess what? Now I host my own show where all I do is talk for 5 minutes at a time every single day. So now I can fill up all sorts of time all by myself. But as much fun as that sounds, it's not going to be the case. Since he's gone, and since we're working things out with our, how we're going to be doing things in the future, since our producer's leaving us and all that good stuff, you know what you get? You get the first ever rerun in the history of Life's a Binge. We're 2 seasons in, as I like to call it, since we've hit 2 years, and you know what happens on TV when things hit 2 seasons? You get syndication, baby. So here we are, our first ever rerun of Life's a Binge. This was a fun one, and it's a good reminder of where we have come from. So anyway, enjoy this week's rerun episode of Life's a Binge.
Yeah, well, I saw it on a
rerun.
It's a rerun.
Welcome, everybody. It's episode 3 of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we're going to have a special guest while we discuss The Office today. But just before we get into that, I'm just going to go through our little bookkeeping. Be sure and follow us on Twitter at Life's a Binge, or send us an email if you have a lengthy question that you want to hit us up at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Or feel free to like and comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Life's a Binge. And so we'll just dive right on into episode 3 of Life's a Binge.
Life's a Binge!
Right?
Kevin is a great guy. He's a great accountant. He is not much of an entertainer.
Basically, there are two types of black people. And black people are actually more racist because they hate the other type of black people. See, every time the one type wants to have a good time, then the other type comes in and makes a real mess.
I'm sorry. He's butchering it. Could you just let me? Every time black people want to have a good time, some ignorant ass. I take care of my kids.
Wait.
Is always want that's credit stuff. For something stop, they're stop supposed
it.
To
stop
do.
Stop it!
What you want, a cookie?
That's very funny.
Oh man, I love this show. I love Michael Scott.
That's clearly Michael Scott. Well, if you're not familiar, that's Michael Scott from the U.S. version of The Office.
The U.S. version of The Office,
and
yes.
That's the show that we're focusing on today, is the U.S. version
of
The Office.
Yeah, we can discuss the original series as well. But
we have to. I mean, we have to. We have to touch on it.
That is true.
It's from the same tree.
Yes, absolutely.
Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant doing the great stuff in BBC.
That was BBC, that's a whole. We'll divulge into that later on.
BBC is like... Book readers,
yeah.
Like, I watch it on BBC.
I watch the BBC Network.
Oh, I read the book before.
But that's because the BBC Network is pretty legit. They put out some quality television.
They do.
Welcome to episode 3. I'm Jared.
I am BJ.
We have our special guest with us, Bree.
Hey.
Welcome. We're glad to have you.
She's a minimalist.
Talking about The Office. So, initial thoughts on The Office, BJ.
Now, The Office was a show that was introduced to me by folks saying, oh, you should watch it. So I didn't watch it like in the first two seasons.
Right. Neither did I. And caught up.
I had caught up on it. I had started watching it. And it took a little while. It's another one of those shows that when you establish the characters, a lot of the humor is written around it.
Yes.
And so, so once you are familiar, once it becomes a little family for you, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's how I was introduced to it. I think I mentioned it earlier in episode 1 or 2, where I didn't like the show initially because I tried to just jump in like season 3 and I didn't know any of the characters or who they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hated it. I was like, these people are terrible. Like, I didn't know that, you know, you're supposed to like the fact that Dwight's a psychopath and that Michael is like
a terrible person. So, but once you start from the beginning, it kind of sets all that up.
Now, there's a lot of kind of popular characters. We have Michael.
Yep.
There's Pam, the receptionist.
Oh, yeah.
Jim.
Jim and Pam.
Jim and Pam.
You can't mention Pam without saying Jim and
Jim
Pam.
Jim and Pam. Jim and Pam. Dwight.
Everyone.
That's
dude.
Kind of the main ones. But is there anyone that you relate to more than others?
Anybody I relate to?
Yeah. Like, do you see yourself?
That.
Do you see yourself as a Jim?
I would have. You have to say you're Jim, right?
Do you? I see myself as Jim, but I'm seen as Kevin.
You're Kevin. Yeah. Hey guys. Yeah. I'm BJ.
Black people sometimes. Well, there's two types, and it's just funny. I
so
think most
your,
people
in your eyes.
No, in my I'm Jim. You're Jim. I'm Jim. Oh yeah, everyone's Jim for
everyone
sure.
Everyone wants
yeah.
to be Jim.
Yeah, and maybe a little Michael at
I
times.
Think, but see, that's the thing. I think everyone's a bit of everyone, because like there's moments when you're like weirdly neurotic, like Dwight is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so funny, mm-hmm. is that all the characters are so outlandish, but you can relate to all of them a majority of the time. And then there's like the second, you know, string characters, like Creed, I think is one of the most brilliant characters on the show, because he just shows up at random times, says like one line and then disappears. And it's always completely random. And that's what makes it so funny.
It is crazy bizarre. And it makes you think like you kind of fill in the blanks on his backstory.
Yeah.
You're like, and it would all make sense. Guy? Like, yeah. Oh, I could see him like, you know, living in a commune,
yeah.
you know, or maybe running with the Mansons. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
in
you
California.
Yeah. You don't know where or what he's done, and that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah, but you're pretty sure he'll do whatever it takes to, yeah. to keep his little meager existence going. It's hilarious.
But yeah, so that's the basic rundown of the characters on the US version. Now, the UK version, I did watch, but I only saw that series one time through, and it was a long time ago, so it's not as much in my mind as the US version, because I've watched the US version all the way through from start to finish about three times. And
yeah,
that's a
pretty good testament for a show. And that's the age we live in too. Like
yeah.
with this binge watching television, like how many times have you watched something through? Cause there are a handful of shows I've watched two and three times.
Yeah, Lost
maybe
is one of them too.
Maybe even four.
I've rewatched Lost as well.
I have not watched it twice.
That's good. It's a good second watch.
Even fourth and fifth. Did you watch Lost, Brie?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
No.
Any of it? Did you like any of it?
I like the first season and then...
That's
nope.
what everyone
The second
says.
Season was
yeah,
good.
The second no. season's good. It's not as good.
I thought it was... I don't know. The second season,
yeah,
I forget.
The second season of Lost starts with the others, and then you get like Ana Lucia, who I hated everything she ever said. Anyway, that's...
Which one is she?
Michelle Rodriguez. The cop.
Oh, yeah.
I hate her. In that. But that's a whole... Lost is a whole other... We'll get to Lost.
Okay.
That's going to be like... We're going to have like...
I
hate five
Juliet.
Guests
yes.
on the Lost
panel. We'll get a
panel,
bunch. A bunch on
and
that.
And it's going to be fun. So The Office.
So anyway, back to The Office. I think we kind of relate to Jim particularly because I think we all do kind of romantically that, you know, that... He's
I'm
crazy
just a guy
about
that
Pam.
Had a crush on a girl.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and wanting to be... Yep. You know, and like wanting the nice guy to win as opposed to the villain to win. And so you want him to get the girl.
Roy's a villain. You think
yeah,
Roy is a villain?
If you're Jim, yeah.
No, it's true.
And I can't be Roy and Jim. I'm Jim. Damn it. So
yeah, you are Jim, Kevin.
You are Jim, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd be Kevin. So did you watch the UK version?
I watched it. You know what's funny about that? And it's funny because it's a British show.
Yes.
So it reminds me when I was younger and Sergeant Pepper's came out.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Pepper's came out from the Bee Gees, Peter Frampton, and then like Steve Martin sang a song on it, and all these people singing the song and all this music that I was like, oh, this is great stuff. And find out later that it all been done before
yeah.
by the Brits.
Correct.
Yes, this was the Beatles did it all before, yep. and it was just, and I was like, what? And I felt a little duped.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that whenever you find out that a show isn't original, I feel a little like I've been played a little bit.
We're really good at that in this country, though. is taking the British TV shows.
Or, yeah, or another show, yeah.
Or, you know, our country. Yeah, we mm-hmm. did that, too. We took it from...
made it our own.
Just going to take it, yeah. make it our own. No big deal.
I like what you're doing over here in England. We're going to do it over here, but our way. And
do it our way. Yeah.
But we're going to take a lot of what we learn from you
yeah.
and do it there.
And then, you know, try but and make I it a little bit better.
I liked The Office. It was clearly a little different.
Yeah.
But the dynamics were the same. You know, the Jim character in the I can't remember all the names of the British Office.
Right.
But the Jim character in the British Office is the guy who played the Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl
Morgan. Martin Freeman.
There you go. And
Morgan Freeman. Yeah. I'm Jim, everybody.
One ring.
Martin Freeman played the Jim character.
I wish I could do a better Morgan Freeman. Yeah. On you know, I wish I had that in my pocket. But I
and
don't.
Then Ricky Gervais was the Michael Scott yes. like boss character.
And there was parts of that that I thought that he, golly, his dancing scene where he dances, that is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Ricky Gervais can really do no wrong.
He's very good.
He's very good. And well, see, it's so funny because the characters are more toned down slightly in The Office because it's more of like a dry, like British humor. Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's Ricky Gervais, who's like outlandish, but he's not like over the top outlandish like Steve Carell played the boss character. He's more like annoyingly outlandish. And so that's why I didn't latch onto that version of it as much as I did the U.S. version. Because the U.S. version, like, they purposely bump everyone up one level above where they should be, I think. And that's what makes it so funny, because you don't expect it to be that way. Like, you don't expect Steve Carell, who's, like, it, you know, Hollywood nice guy, to start going into one of the, like, crazy, like, racist rants in the second episode of the TV show, right?
Right.
But it sets it up. You're like, oh, okay. I see how this guy acts. Like, he thinks he's totally innocent of everything.
No, yeah.
And that's what makes it so good.
It's endearing. And it's because it's like his insecurity. I mean, we're all Michael, too.
Right.
I mean, like,
no, everyone, yeah.
Yeah, his insecurities, you know, that pretty much dominating his life and his decision making. That's all of us.
No.
As well.
Oh man. And there's so many different like moments where it just brings it back down to reality. Like in the season 2 premiere, they're doing like the Dundee Awards, and like he's taking it super seriously. He's giving out these like dumb awards. And then the restaurant patrons are like, yeah, shut up, dude. And, like, everyone feels all bad. And then, like, as a viewer, you're like, he is being obnoxious. But, like,
you feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him because he's yeah. so innocent of the fact that he's being obnoxious. And you're just like, oh, man, it's endearing. And so, like, you root for Michael Scott. You root for the Jim and Pam, like, love story to grow, even though she's with somebody else. And, like, that's always taboo. You're like, man, I'm rooting for like an affair, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, when is that okay? But the way they portray it makes it okay. Like, you know what I mean?
All is fair in love and war.
I guess. Engaged ain't married. That's a quote from Michael Scott.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Well, as he's trying to sleep with Jim.
No, that's advice. He gives that advice to Jim. Jim, like, spills the beans to Michael when they're on, like, the boat cruise.
Oh, about how he feels about Pam.
About how he feels about Pam. And he's like, but she's engaged. And Michael's like, engaged ain't married. And I was like, you know, it's true. I guess, you know, it's true.
You make a drunk call because you watch The Office.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah, I know you're not married yet. I don't know why you were talking to squeaky voice.
You were monitoring my phone. I was like, touché, BJ.
Hey, no, I'm just saying we're all that guy. Yeah. So we've all been there. We have all been there, made that ridiculous phone call. So
yeah, so obviously you were rooting for the Jim and Pam relationship then as well.
I was, but it's funny too, because, you know, as that plays out, after a certain point, you're kind of like, forget you then. You know, like romantically too, you know, like with people, like if you're, you know, that like, I don't know, my experience has been like in those situations where you might like somebody and they don't like you back.
Oh yeah.
That at some point it's like, well, you know,
like, I'm over
something,
it.
Yeah, as you get more self-esteem, it's like part of it's like, well, liking me is kind of an important part of this of this agreement, yeah. You know, of this situation. And if you don't like yeah, and if you don't, then, you know, then it's kind of easy to like, you know, to move on. So at some point, you're going through that with Jim, and you're like, forget her, Jim. She's going to go back to the jerk time and time again.
And she did.
And time and time again, yeah. And it was great, because what did it do to us, man? It just... dug that knife in, and it was a really good, you know, by the writers, a plot point.
Well, and I don't know, they're one of the, at least in the TV shows that I've watched, that Pam and Jim are one of like the like best TV romances, you know, of shows that I've watched. People are like, Ross and Rachel and Friends. I'm like, meh.
You really bought it.
But you
bought it with them. You bought their chemistry together.
Yep.
You know, the time to, you know, and you just you bought it.
You were just well, and they put you on board in the very first episode because like they're really friendly with each other. Their chemistry is perfect together. And like you're like, "Oh, he just, you know, he has a crush on her and like she doesn't know it or maybe she does." And then all of a sudden, you know, the end of the first episode, Roy, her fiance of like 5 years, because they've been engaged forever, shows up and he's like, let's go. And you're like, oh, I see the conflict now. And they set it up so good that you're just like already rooting for it to happen in the first episode. Mm-hmm. Ah, so good.
So now when you watched the BBC version, did you kind of see how that all played out? And
yeah, but
there's so many of them, like, well, there's at least a handful of them that are like, oh my goodness, that's the exact same story. And yeah, like, you know,
exactly the same. But I mean, that's what happens when you, I guess, remake the show.
And then, you know, since the BBC version is only going to make 4 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a little leeway to kind of run with the premises.
We have 2 seasons of The Office in the UK. That means 7 episodes. But and what makes another thing that makes The Office so brilliant for anybody that hasn't seen it is done as a mockumentary,
mm-hmm.
like style, where and they tell you that, like, they tell you that there's a film crew that's filming a documentary and that they're watching, you know, the American workplace or whatever. And that's the whole premise of like why they do the asides, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But what's brilliant about the show is everything is written into the script. So, like, whenever you see, like, somebody in the background, like, shoot a glance to the camera and, like, make a funny face,
mm-hmm.
that's written in the script that they're supposed to do that. And everyone thinks that the actors are really great at improv. And, yeah, there's a lot of improv lines and stuff. But when they really wanted to, like, hit it home, like, they planned all that stuff out. And the focus pulls and focus changes that the camera crew does, I don't know. It just,
it's good. It's very effective.
Everything about the show, the way that they do it, the way they wrote it, the way they produced it, shot it, filmed it, all that stuff, it just grabbed me instantaneously, and I watched all of it.
Now, there's a lot of stars that kind of came out of that. I mean, Steve Carell was kind of already a big star on The Daily Show before he went on there.
Yep.
But after that, John Krasinski, you know, became a much bigger name. Mm-hmm. Rain Wilson.
B.J. Novak.
What did he... Oh, he was in Inglourious Basterds.
Well, he wrote a majority of the show and,
well, that's what's
and
interesting.
Directed a lot of the episodes. And he's like, you know, Ryan the Temp. And so everyone's like, oh. Because you like put 2 and 2 together that... But he's like one of the main showrunners.
Yeah, so it's neat now to watch the episodes and read all the credits, because you'll see, oh, Mindy Kaling wrote this episode,
yep.
and like, so I watched that sexual harassment episode this afternoon, and which is a hilarious mm-hmm. episode that Mindy Kaling had wrote it, and Amy Heckerling had. Directed it, and I forget what Amy Heckerling directed. Maybe our assistant Bree could look up on IMDb Amy Heckerling and see what she's been in. I want to say like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I don't even recognize that name.
Amy Heckerling.
Mm-mm.
She's a director.
Fair enough.
Of you know, with the first name of Amy, she's done a few things. But anyway, it's neat because what was unique is that, or I think it was unique. I don't know, but actually, what it did is made me very like envious and jealous, is that a lot of the actors on the show were also writers on the show,
yeah,
and they all created this thing, and it's really impressive that they get to not just to get up and show up and read their lines. They get to create a lot of what they're doing. Like that's awesome.
Yeah. And the way that they act in the show, because so much of it is reactionary to the camera without like any words at all. Like Jim
John Krasinski
like nailed it. Yeah. Like he became, you know, famous or known for like the camera takes, just because Michael would say something crazy and then like the focus would shift and he's all the way across the room and all of a sudden you just see Jim like throw his eyebrows up and like turn his chair slightly and you're just like, man, like, and that gets a laugh. Like you instantly start laughing and he doesn't have to say or do, like, he just makes the slightest little like glance towards the camera.
There was a particular scene where Jim is doing something and maybe he like pranked somebody and whoever, they got really mad and they were, and then he just like looked at his screen and started typing,
like,
and
opens his eyes real big real quick
and just doesn't turn his head at all. It was just brilliant stuff.
Let's see. Amy Heckerling studied film and television. Okay. Known for Clueless. She was the teacher in Clueless. That's where I would recognize her from.
I think she was the director of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, if I'm not mistaken.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Director.
Yeah. She's done a handful of stuff. She's a director.
Cool.
Of somewhat.
And you recognize her as a director on the episode of The Office.
Yeah, which is cool. It's always, that's cool to see, too, when you kind of recognize names and faces and...
Well, and then, like, in the later seasons, like, season 3, they introduced more people. Like, Ed Helms came onto the show, and he was relatively unknown at the time.
He came from The Daily Show as well. Yep,
and now he's really, you know, big and famous. In
bad movies.
What are you talking about? Hangovers. That guy makes nothing but money.
Hangover is, God, that's the worst.
Well, now
movies.
He's in the new, vacation movie. He's playing Rusty. In the new vacation
movie. What? Like an adult Rusty?
Yeah. They're making a new vacation movie. Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo are in the movie. And he's playing Rusty. And, like, he's taking his family to Wally World.
Why didn't they get the original Rusty, who is from Big Bang Theory?
Well, because they're all different.
I thought, yeah.
They're different in every movie.
What's his name? Anthony Michael Hall was one.
He was one.
Was he the first one?
He was one of them. Vacation.
Was not the first one.
And then...
Christmas Vacation.
Leonard from Big Bang Theory...
Was one of them, too?
Was in Christmas Vacation.
Leonard, which one?
He's, like, the main guy from...
The skinny guy.
The little one.
He was in Roseanne.
Oh, the Roseanne guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in that,
What's
too?
His name? Johnny Galecki.
Very good.
He was...
I would have never been able to tell
you. He was Rusty in Christmas
Some names
Vacation.
I can tell you, but... Now, Big Bang Theory, you like that?
I do. That is a show that
you
I...
Really, that was a very, like, qualified do.
I do.
It's
a show that I, every time I watch an episode, I really enjoy it, but I haven't seen it from the beginning. And so I watch it here and there when other people are watching it and I enjoy it. But I, at some point, whenever it's all available, I'm sure I'm just going to go through and just plow through
it. I don't know. Like, I watch it, but not, you know, I watch it 'cause Andrea likes it. And so we watch it now and then. But it's, to me, I don't know.
Fun.
I guess sometimes I'm a little snooty about my humor sometimes. Like, and Bree's that way. Mm-hmm. I know she is.
Snooty about your humor?
Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough.
But it's like,
we're better than everyone.
I don't like to say that, but you know, it's very true.
So, Bree, did you enjoy The Office?
I did.
All of it.
I stopped watching when Michael left. I'm one of those.
You're one of the show abandoners when Michael left. Now that is a big deal breaker for some people. Did you watch it after Michael left?
I watched some of it. Like, James Spader was after that, right?
He showed up.
Because that was some funny stuff.
Yep. Spader was there.
I did watch it. I didn't watch it with as much. And, you know, at that time, so The Office and then 30 Rock was paired up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's a show right there. That's not your Big Bang Theory. That's a show right there. I mean, Office is good, too. And Big Bang Theory is fine.
You're obviously a 30 Rock fan.
I do like 30 Rock. I do. I think Big Bang Theory is like just the obvious stuff. You know, like the Indian parents and the Indian stuff, and they're just like, oh no, I'm going to do that joke, and then the nerdy stuff, and it's just really to me, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it's like within that context, it's funny. You know, it's written pretty good, but yeah.
But that's why The Office is funny, because it's all super subtle.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't beat you over the head with it. Well, and it's a little more clever.
But
it's like the difference between The Simpsons and Family Guy to me.
Yes.
You know.
But see, that's like, for me, that's saying that's the difference in NBC and CBS. Because CBS, to me, has always been the weaker of the two as far as producing sitcoms.
Comedy-wise.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like...
Oh, they're a lot more lowest common
CBS's
denominator.
CBS's flagships for the last few years were Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
And
which, have you watched that?
I can't stand Two and a Half Men.
You know, I didn't watch it, but I have to say, it's really raunchy.
A couple of them are funny, but then it's literally the same story every single episode. And so that's the difference, because NBC, you know, while those two shows were running, NBC was running shows like 30 Rock and The Office back to back. And so, I don't know, it's, I've never really latched on to like a CBS show, except for,
a CBS, anything like in like comedy or drama or just any comedy,
just the comedy, really the comedy aspect of it. But CBS, did CBS have How I Met Your Mother?
I thought, or was that NBC?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Let's have our
assistant
brief.
If CBS had it, then that was like they had everything that they could ever have, because How I Met Your Mother is amazingly brilliant.
Well, then I'm gonna have to watch that then.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it. You know, this is something that we need to start doing. Is making
homework.
Recommendations? Yeah, making recommendations for folks to come to listen to watch. So when they come back and listen,
yeah.
And by the way, every time that you're listening to our podcast, if you're feeling that you have an addiction to television, you are serving your addiction by not watching. Instead, you're just listening about television, and you're being like a book reader.
Yeah. Well, we did just confirm CBS did have How I Met Your Mother. So okay, I'll give them that. Because my two in recent sitcom history, my two favorite shows are How I Met Your Mother is number one and The Office is number two. Definitely. And that's NBC, CBS, and CBS, I guess, wins.
I'm going to see. Now I'd have to say, and how long? In the last how long?
I don't know. 10 years.
Ten
or so.
Years.
I mean, both those shows are on for like 9 seasons. So that's 10 years.
Gosh. All right. Arrested Development.
Ooh.
30 Rock, comedy wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arrested Development and 30 Rock. That's
pretty good.
Those are probably my top two of the last 10 years.
I think
years.
I've only seen like 4 episodes ever of 30 Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a gold mine. Like, do you like Tina Fey?
Yeah. Every episode I watch is so funny. But
yeah, then you know what? You've got. That's just money in the bank.
Yeah. Like, I'm just waiting.
So that's maybe that's how I Met Your Mother is for me. Like, you know it's good.
It's
so
good.
We'll see.
A lot of people hate How I Met Your Mother, though.
I'm a little skeptical. But so I like NPH.
Yeah, he's great.
Cool.
He is great.
I call him his initials and stuff. We don't have time for all this whole name.
New Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Just call him Doogie. So you said you didn't. Did you finish The Office?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, 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 I finished it.
You think so?
No, I did. So but I'll tell you, yeah, that tells you that on the last bit of the ride, I wasn't as...
So once Michael
I wasn't as
gung-ho.
Yeah, and actually, I was glad Michael left. I thought it was a good choice.
So,
they had written his character into a ridiculous corner of extremes.
Yeah.
That was, to me, it was starting to become, like, not very entertaining.
Okay.
And so when he left, I thought it was a good idea, and it kind of... You know, it gave some other storylines and characters a chance to just kind of to play out.
Yes.
Because, yeah, no, Michael, to me, became annoying after a little while. Like, because I'm like, it's cute at first. Oh, you're insecure and you make these bad decisions.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, you're ridiculous and you make me mad. And I think that's how people feel about, like, George Costanza.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's my sisters. They're like, they hate Seinfeld because they're like, I cannot watch.
Can't stand George.
Can't stand you. I can't stand Costanza.
Oh man. So did you not finish, Bree? Did you not finish?
Did not.
The Office.
Did not finish.
Do you know
it.
How it ends? Did you not? You didn't care. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch all the Office BBC?
No.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I just can't get past the mumbling.
I understand that entirely. I do too.
I do too. There's a whole like different like
entire.
There's a whole different like comedy sense of timing, like the stuff that they do in Europe or in England, I should say. But because that reminds me, I've mentioned it every episode so far.
Probably.
The Jim Jeffers, legit.
Yeah.
Because he does these timing things where it's like, well, I didn't know that, now did I? You know, like something like that, where they just have this weird, like, it's just a different, I don't know. There's like a universal comedy sense of timing that's a little different. It's just different.
Yeah, it's different. You know? And it's different across the pond.
But it's funny, like, especially once you get used to it. And Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant use it all the time.
They're good.
And their stuff. Have you seen any of their other shows?
Oh, yeah.
Life's Too Short.
I don't know if I finished that or not.
I think it's only one season.
That's
my favorite show.
Out of the last 10 years of comedies,
Life's Too Short.
That's your number one comedy or show.
Probably. Yes.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to.
It's an HBO one.
Life's Too Short.
Okay. So it's
I have HBO now.
Warwick Davis, thank you. I was gonna say that guy.
Of course,
you know the show well. You'll know his name.
Yeah, I know Warwick.
You know who he is?
Yeah, Willow.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
there are so many funny references to that, and that's what's funny too about this. Is what Ricky Gervais does that I really like about him is he's super self-deprecating.
Yeah,
like and when he like got skinny and became an asshole. I didn't like him. Like I was like, I don't like you like that.
Yeah,
you know, I like you when you're
when he did the
extras, dude. Have you seen Extras?
Nope.
Oh. Dude, that is money.
Yeah,
you watch all of Extras?
Yes,
all of it.
Yes.
You guys are big on the HBO shows. Yeah. I see both of you. Yeah. I know you sent me a list of like your favorite shows, and they were all HBO.
No, it started with HBO because I was looking at it.
It was all HBO.
Well, that was like the list I was working off of. But and then I was like, that one. But I need to see some other lists. But right now, I mean, FX is making their way up.
Yeah,
and AMC too.
Yeah. But, I don't have cable, so...
Me neither. We've all established that.
Same old story.
Cable?
Nope.
Good job.
I know.
We haven't had anyone on cable yet.
We'll get somebody.
who's
going to get... What commercials are on TV?
Some sucker.
They're going to hate. They're just going
to...
They're going to be mad that they're... I got cable. I'm paying $190 a month for...
Yep. And I pay $20 a month for everything, basically.
No, because your internet is way more than that.
Yeah, but I split that between everybody.
Oh.
So, The Office is our topic.
The Office is our topic. We kind of stayed on it for the most part.
Almost. So I watched all the way to the end. And I liked all the way to the end. I liked that they changed. Like, with you, I thought it was time for Michael to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked they replaced him with... The only thing that I don't like about The Office is I didn't like that they replaced him with Andy, who was played by Ed Helms.
Mm-hmm.
And because he tried to be like Michael Scott, kind of. Like, that character was already like that anyway. And so it was like they tried to do the same thing with a different person, and it didn't really work that well for me. But everyone else seemed to get more humanity in the later seasons. Like, Jim and Pam are, like, you know, the perfect, like, TV relationship. But in the final season...
They throw in some conflict.
There's some major conflict, and you don't know if they're going to make it. And that's just, like... And, like, everyone got so pissed that, like, Jim and Pam are going to break up. Ah! And, like, everyone hated Jim because he started this new job and, like, wasn't around as much. And, like...
But she's flirting with that dude.
Left her with the two kids. Right, and so there was all this drama, and everyone got so pissed. And you're like... Looking back on it, that happened in like 3 episodes. It was just 3 weeks, but everyone grabbed onto it, and they're like, "I can't believe Jim and Pam!" Ah,
yeah.
And
wait, she was flirting with another guy. I didn't see those.
Yeah, the boom mic operator.
Same as the first episode.
The boom mic operator.
Oh yeah, from the reality thing.
Yeah.
He comforted her in a moment of like she had got crying, and so so they ended up and it, anyway so.
Whew.
Maybe Pam has a pattern then.
F Pam. That's what I'm saying.
Don't knock Pam.
No. Well, we love Pam.
Love Pam.
That's the thing too, is she's very likable. Yeah. Like you, then that's, and that's why, that's why we, you know, we all fall in love with her. As,
well, in all their little moments, like their air high fives and like listening to music out of the same earbuds and like all those like dorky little romance things. And those were things that they were doing before they were even a couple. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, like you love it so much. But at the same time, like felt guilty every time because I was like, man, she's like not cheating. Like, they're literally just friends in the first couple seasons, but at the same time, you know that they're, like, head over heels in love with each other. So you're like, she's not really cheating, but she's kind of cheating. Like, the whole emotional cheating is worse type aspect. And so it's like...
Is it?
I would think so. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But...
I just, I guess I can't have an image of emotional cheating.
You, you root for it, but at the same time...
By, in your car where you're driving at night, you know, one in the morning. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, fair enough. Yeah, just their, I don't know, their relationship is one for the TV ages, I think.
I agree. No, absolutely. Were you rooting for them, Bree?
Of course. I cried at the wedding.
Yeah. Oh man!
See, now I guess I remember they got married. I mean, clearly they did.
They got married, yeah. After
it wasn't one of the moments that kind of a funny like thing because I don't know.
And like so much of their little like reactionary thing, like they're at the company picnic, and you know she like hurts her ankle or whatever, and they're playing volleyball, and like she's one of their star players, and like he runs her to the hospital, and that's when they find out that she's pregnant, and like they're just behind closed doors, and like. He just comes out with like tears in his eyes. He's like makes a phone call. And he's like, "I'm not gonna make it back." And like, boom, goes back inside. And you're just like, nah! And your heart like swells. Yeah, and, like good. So perfect.
They did that. Oh, they did that really well. Oh. And I was just saying that's. I think that's why people, you know, were like blowing up. Like, I can't believe the, you, Jimmy
can't
Pam.
Believe it
because they had been at that point what six, seven years.
Yeah, a while. Yeah,
invested. You know, and those are 20 plus episodes a season.
Yeah.
Shows. So, except the first season's like only like six or something like
yes.
that.
But no, they, cause.
So people were invested. They had a lot of time and energy to relate to the characters and relate to their relationship.
But that's why I loved that last season so much because they like, nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? Like no relationship is that perfect.
Right.
And all you ever saw was like the perfection that was Jim and Pam. Mm-hmm. And so when they threw that little wrench in there to be like, look, they can still be in love with each other and like end up happily ever after together, but they're going to yell at each other a couple of times. You know what I mean?
All we see is their Facebook page.
Right.
Where they look really happy.
Everything's
really
happy good. And great.
That's funny. You know, what's interesting too is watching this episode, sexual harassment, which was maybe 10 years ago. I'm trying to think of when
was season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's talking about how he's the king of email forwards.
Oh yeah.
And not, that doesn't really happen anymore. Does it? Like, I don't get like
the chainmail emails
and jokes and stuff. Like you don't get those. I mean those are reserved for social media.
From your grandma, you'll get it.
Yeah. But people post them on Facebook now. They're like,
right. Yeah. So, so emails and forwards just don't really happen like anymore. But well,
and that's what's funny is like these shows that are taking place right now, like the, like Friends, I think is a good, no, I'll go even back further. Seinfeld, I think is a great example where I still love Seinfeld to this day, but every episode of Seinfeld would be solved if just one of them had a cell phone or a, like, especially a smartphone. Because it's like, hey, let's meet at the movies. Okay, we're meeting at the movies. And then they're at like different theaters. And it's like, all you have to do is send a text, be like, wrong theater, dumbass. And then, like, right. Episode over, problem solved. Right. Or they're, like, waiting for a Chinese restaurant table. Like, waiting for a table, set up, open table, boom, reservation made, boom,
right.
Done.
Yeah.
Like, every single episode of Seinfeld could have been solved or, you know, no conflict whatsoever. If smartphones had happened.
So now at 11 o'clock or something when the syndicated Seinfeld's on, I'm going to be like,
It's true.
Let's see if this plot line
can't remember where they parked in the parking garage, which is funny, but everyone takes picture now. Most people take a picture of where they parked on their phone. So anyway, that's just aspect of it's funny. So these shows that are like dated, but they're not really dated because Seinfeld is still very funny and very relevant, but... You know, picking somebody up from the airport's a lot different now than it was when Seinfeld was made.
Yeah. Well, even The Office, it's weird because I thought this today just watching that one episode.
Email forwards.
Not only that, Todd Packer, you know, he's like, hey, Albert's still queer.
Oh,
you know,
right.
And I'm like, would they say that now? I don't know if they would. I mean, it was only 10 years ago.
He probably would. Like, because that's his, like,
that guy would.
Yeah,
he would. But would they, you know, would they present that in a sitcom as a bit of humor, you know? And it's funny because that it just changes, yeah, you know? And that, you know, and in 10 years, we've changed a lot.
Todd Packer
is one of the David Koechner kills me. Like, he's one of the just straight up, just emits humor out of his pores.
He's worse than Michael is.
He's
though.
The worst character. It's great. He's
even that line. Albert's still like, I think that's why they would still do it.
Maybe because
he can get away with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's like, I had problems with my DUI. Did you get someone to drive me around? Like,
oh, Todd Packer.
Yeah. Woof.
And then there's, like, we haven't even talked about, like, the secondary cast enough, but, like,
Stanley's apathy.
Stanley is so
great. Stanley
is there
great.
And, like, is so dry and perfect and is probably holding a book of crosswords. I don't even know. 90% of the show's run.
Yeah. Where he's just buying his time the entire time. Just like, well,
oh, man, he's so good.
What I need to do is...
Meredith is so funny, and
that's a great little side character,
and she's just like hammered all the time, and then
so questionable.
Like, Angela, like, off in her little world. Oscar, like, right. They hit on everything.
So,
like,
all right, let's talk about Dwight and Angela
for so long. Oh man, okay, Dwight and Angela. What do you want to talk about, Dwight and Angela? What
did you think about Dwight and Angela?
I thought it was perfect. Because they are both so meticulous and both so, like, alpha that it was, like, I don't know. I thought it was perfect. And their hidden little secret relationship.
They clearly they wrote her this way, but I ended up just hating Angela so much.
Well, you're supposed to hate her.
Yeah.
Like, but still.
You're supposed to hate Dwight. Like,
I don't know. I like Dwight, though.
Because Dwight has redeeming qualities. Angela's just a raging bitch the whole time.
And not only that, she plays Andy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like...
Because she's trying to get back at Dwight. Right?
She's doing it with Dwight, but she's engaged to Andy and will sleep with him.
Right.
And,
yeah, she's...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's so funny. Like, if they didn't write some of these characters and they were performed and acted in a way that is so relatable, like... The hot girl episode where Amy Adams is selling purses and
she's the hot version of Pam, is that what Michael calls her?
Right, yeah. Kevin says, are you jealous about the new girl? No, I'm not. Well, she's way prettier than you. Yeah.
So messed
that's a rude
up.
Thing to say.
Yeah. But really rude.
But he goes, Dwight goes, gets his nerve up and goes and asks the new girl for a date in front of Angela. I'd like to be alone so I can ask you for a date. No. Like, no to being alone with me or no to the date?
Both.
and then he turns and he walks out the room and it's so well done. Like, he's just so broken.
He's like trying
and like,
to pull himself together.
Yeah, just like, oh, I've just been devastated, but I have to walk out. It was so good.
There's
like,
so many little moments, though. That's why I could talk about this show forever, because every time you talk about something it brings up more things. Like,
it does, and it brings up other stuff too, which why we always reserve the right to revisit show or any
we're
topic
definitely
at any time
come back to this
so one. And you know, and the to me Ricky Gervais's other projects, like Extras and tell me again,
Life's
Derek.
Too Short.
Life's
no
too short.
Derek.
Yeah.
Derek,
did you watch
was
that?
Interesting.
I watched most
I
of the first season.
Show.
I thought it was going to be different than what it was.
It's
I thought
so
it was going to be.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. But I thought it was going to be like, haha, laugh out loud, slapsticky, funny. And then I watched an episode and I was like, wow, this is like pretty heavy.
See,
like,
I think that's
also really funny.
That's what I like about Jim Jeffries' show, Legit. is because
you're obsessed with the show. I have to watch it
because it's there's parts of it like Derek where you watch it and if you haven't seen Derek on Netflix, it's he plays a mentally challenged character, but it's never mean,
right?
Like it's never mean. But clearly doing that type of thing, that type of humor, that type of entertainment it's a little risky.
Right. You're towing a fine
very
line.
Fine. Yeah, yeah, very fine. And so, but they do it really well, and it's very moving, and it's fun, and lots of fun, very funny, because he's just a funny guy. And so Legit is like that as well. There's just like these bits, there's a lot raunchier, but they're just as moving. Like, you're like, oh,
I have to watch. Sweet. Okay, every binger out there,
start watching a little Legit.
You gotta watch. I'm gonna watch them.
You watched any new shows like recently?
No, I just finished Game of Thrones season 5.
Oh, okay.
Which just finished.
Me too. Yes.
I just need to watch.
Yes.
I need to watch the new Orange Is the New Black that just came out. Got to watch that.
Yep.
I have to start watching Legit. That.
According to me. Apparently.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's why.
I think that like this is what we ought to be able to do is assign every guest who comes on a particular show to watch. And then next time they come on, you say something about the show that they watched.
That is a good idea.
So, and then also we have folks who are like, because we need to be bringing new stuff in all the time and somewhat current stuff. So.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch an episode of Legit so we can briefly touch on that in the future.
Maybe I should watch Dexter season 3 since I've only watched the first two seasons.
Yes.
Well, or you choose it. You choose.
I'm going to plow through Orange Is the New Black. That's what I'm going to do this week, just so everyone out there is aware.
Okay.
I'm going to watch Orange Is the New Black.
And one episode of Legit.
And some Legit.
Yeah. A little bit Legit.
So I think we're coming up here on time. So I just want your final thoughts on our topic of the day. The Office. BJ, final thoughts. Recommend, don't recommend?
Absolutely recommend, and I recommend them both, and I don't think that you'd have to do it in any order either. I think you could go US to BBC and then explore off of those things, the stuff that's related to it. All the Ricky Gervais stuff is definitely worth diving into, and we're definitely going to dive into all those Ricky Gervais things.
BBC is going to open up a whole different aspect of what we talk about.
A whole snobby can of worms.
We're going to talk in British accents the whole time as well. Brie, final thoughts, The Office. Love,
excellent.
It.
Love it.
Except for
the end, and I just kind of trailed off.
Except for when Michael leaves. Fair enough.
I've seen a couple episodes after that.
I loved all of it. Mm. But I said that the whole time we've been talking. I talked like for like an hour by myself.
You're
just sitting here like, The Office is great. I love it.
It's good.
Jimmy Pam are my favorite.
You should be able to blab on about anything you're passionate about.
I'm not even done, but we've got to wrap up.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it.
For sure.
And we're definitely going to hit on everything else,
too. Didn't even talk about Oscar. We barely mentioned Oscar.
Oscar didn't
get mentioned. I was just going to say, he's like the only sane character in the whole show.
He really kind of is. And we didn't mention, like, Ryan the Temp and, like,
Ryan
and Kelly.
And Kelly. That was hilarious.
Good Lord.
Kelly and who's the black guy?
Daryl. Down in the warehouse.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Kelly and Daryl.
We didn't talk about anybody
that's
in the warehouse.
Really funny, that's a really so funny many. Dynamic too. Like
watch
that,
The Office, guys.
When they date, that's there's just a wealth of stuff to watch there.
Endless,
a wealth of comedy.
Endless funniness.
Which we all need. You need to have go-to comedies. That they will hold their energy, you know, like a song that really pumps you up. You know, you can play it so many times before it doesn't do the job anymore.
Oh, it's true.
A good comedy, a good show, you can watch it many times and enjoy it before it loses it.
I will laugh every time I watch The Office out loud. And it's one of the very few shows that actually makes me legitimately laugh out loud. Like, there's, you know, chuckles here and there, other shows, but every time I watch The Office, I find myself belly laughing at how funny the situations are. Like, just everyone's seen the clip. Everyone uses the clip of, like, Michael screaming, no, 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 God, no, go, no, God, no.
What
like, everyone knows that clip. And that's when Toby, the HR guy, comes back to the office right. after he's been gone.
That's right.
And you're just like, it's the first time you see Toby, and you're like, oh, Toby, you're great. And, like, the first reaction is, no, dear God, no. no! And, like, it's the worst because, like, Toby, he's like, hey, guys.
The most unassuming.
Like,
yeah.
He just blends in the background, wears, like, taupe and brown the whole time. He's, like, harmless little fly, and Michael just hates him.
It's so funny, yeah.
And that reaction, like, it's so funny.
Because he's the only one whose responsibility it is to tone Michael down.
Yeah, and he hates him so much. No! No! Oh, man. That clip's so good.
So, yeah.
I recommend The Office.
Yeah, we do, too. So
cool.
Come check back with us soon, folks. This is this week's episode. We're really glad to have Bree with us today. We're
yay! Hoping
she'd say a couple more words here and there, but yeah. She gets her inspiration behind her. You never know.
I like the additional laughter. That's always nice. See, there it was. Yeah, I like it.
It's
good. So, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here, Bree. We appreciate it. Thanks for Googling for us. That was also very helpful.
You're so welcome.
And, it's been Life's a Binge, Episode 3. I'm Jared.
And I'm BJ. We'll see you in your booty groove. We're still working on the catchphrase, but it's coming, folks, and you're going to love it.
Yeah, for sure. See you guys next week.
Life's a binge!
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.